I gave this platform to God, okay? I'm on a very specific mission.
We have to identify who the real enemy is. We have to know, where does this infiltration come from? The American people need a warrior that's unafraid to point out the real enemy. The American people are deserving of truth, exposure, and extreme accountability for the crimes against humanity that are being committed. We're on the brink of the complete collapse of America, while at the same time at the precipice of an amazing victory. If we want to prevent our children from facing a future bloodbath, I mean, I'm talking mass amounts of bloodshed, we need to step up and fight this war, and we need to fight it now. Uncensored. I refuse to be silenced or muzzled. Unafraid. No man will intimidate me. Unstoppable.
Good evening and welcome to the Stu Peters Show. We have discussed this ad nauseum on this program, and everybody knows by now that Washington, D.C. runs on blackmail. And it's not just D.C. No, it's governments and corporations and banks and anything else with real power all over the world. They use blackmail to control the people at the very top, and then anyone else that trickles down that they can take an interest in. Someone has something on everyone, and at any given time, they can release it, and they can destroy everything. Now, these blackmail operations, they take many forms. We all know that Jeffrey Epstein and his child sex trafficking network, frequented by politicians and billionaires, wasn't just a sex ring. No, it was an elaborate blackmail operation tied to the Mossad and the CIA and British intelligence. Jeffrey Epstein had videotapes. He had recordings. And people went to great lengths to cover them up. They would have done anything to make sure that they didn't come out. I mean, we can't even get a hold of his flight logs without half the information missing, and we still haven't seen what's inside the little black box of Epstein's madam, Ghislaine Maxwell. And there's a very good chance that we never will, because the people that she was blackmailing, they got a hold of that little black box, that little black book. They threw her in prison right before it all came crashing down on them. And for years, credible claims and stories about politicians and other elites raping kids have been lamented as crazy conspiracy theories. But in reality, there are numerous court cases and credible accusations to back this stuff up. It's not just Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell. No, right now we're learning through a litany of court cases that Sean Diddy Combs was running a sexual blackmail operation in the music industry. For many budding rap and hip-hop stars, they couldn't break through unless they submitted to Diddy's perversions and his drug-fueled bisexual orgies with underage kids, just like Epstein, we're hearing that he made tapes. And back in the political world, we have plenty of additional examples to choose from if we want to investigate just how disgusting the people behind the levers of power really are. Dennis Hastert was the Speaker of the House for almost a decade. He was the Speaker of the House on 9/11. After he retired, he was convicted of molesting at least four boys. Now, let me ask you, do you think that his handlers didn't know that he was a pervert when they gave him the keys to the castle? Of course they did. Because that was their insurance policy, you see. And speaking of Speakers of the House, what do you think Joe Biden has on Mike Johnson? What did the Biden regime do to him to make him apologize for rolling his eyes at the State of the Union and force $95 billion in foreign aid through the House? Blackmail is how legislation gets moved in Washington. Anthony Weiner, the infamous Clinton associate and the husband of Hillary Clinton's body woman, was convicted of child sex crimes. He was a fall guy, obviously, and he was also a former congressman. He got convicted, and the investigations into the Clintons all stopped. The public was told that Anthony Weiner was the bad guy and that everything else was just a conspiracy theory. But whatever happened to his laptop? Yeah, before Hunter Biden's laptop, there was Anthony Weiner's laptop. He was using it to sext with children. What else was on that hard drive? Every single time that the American public starts to investigate this issue, starts to investigate the elite perverts behind the levers of power, not just of politics, but of all sectors of American life, they're given a fall guy on a silver platter. They're given a pound of flesh, and then the issue just goes away. Or they're inundated with QAnon-themed web stories, with 4chan posts from people who claim that they worked in the CIA for 15 years and watched every politician that you ever disliked commit atrocious crimes against children and other prisoners. And it's all fake. It's all cooked up in some government computer room with someone with 15 feds sitting on laptops and cell phones controlling them. It's a psyop. It's controlled opposition. But every now and then, a new story breaks through. And it's up to all of us to vet it and to decide what's fact and what's fiction, what's real and what's a setup. What's been planted to delegitimize the real victims and to protect the pedophiles operating behind the scenes? Because when these stories that we hear are real and when we can prove it, we as the American public need to go on the march, literally and figuratively. We need to expose these perverts. We need to remove them from office. And then we need to put them in front of a court, in front of a jury of American citizens to face extreme accountability. Recently, a woman called Jennifer Guskin began posting online claiming to be the victim of MKUltra mind control and CPS child sex trafficking. She says that she was adopted from CPS by a sex trafficking pedophile who farmed her out to other pedophile rings, and that she was an Epstein Island victim who was also flown from the United States to the United Kingdom to cater to elite pedophiles, including politicians. On January 10th, Jennifer posted on X, introducing herself and beginning to reveal her allegations. She wrote at that time, quote, "My name is Jennifer Guskin. I was adopted as an infant by a family who subsequently sold me to various individuals and entities throughout my childhood. I've been to Epstein Island and multiple Lolita Express type flights. I was boated off to islands, off of Long Island, to be experimented on and received MKUltra type training and programming. This is the tip of the iceberg." End quote. Well, since then, Jennifer has been gradually building a following. Her posts have been gradually getting more views, and she says that she's recovering more memories of abuse. And now, Jennifer's online presence has exploded because of accusations that she's made against Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. Jennifer alleges, and I want to remind you that this is alleged, that when she was about 7 or 8 years old, living with her adopted turned traffickers on Long Island, she witnessed Bernie Sanders raping a little boy on video. Jennifer claims that Sanders was abducted and forced to do this by a man called Coach, a friend of the adoptive father, and obviously a child sex trafficker. She says that Sanders didn't want to do it, but that he was forced to. And that a group of men had set up a tripod camera in a basement full of child sex slaves and brought Bernie into the room with a bag over his head, telling him that if he didn't perform the recorded child rape, that they would kill his entire family. The videotape then served as a form of blackmail, with a distraught Sanders being sent home and back to his normal life immediately after raping a child. Now, this isn't the first time that Bernie Sanders and rape have made headlines. Sanders wrote an essay decades ago, which he titled Man and Woman, and that's been described as a rape fantasy. It made a brief appearance in the media, and then, of course, it was memory-holed. This is just one of several stories that Jennifer has come forward to tell. She joins us now to tell more details regarding these allegations. Jennifer, it takes a lot of bravery for you to be here, and we appreciate that. We know that this isn't easy for you to talk about. We know that child rape is happening. We know that it's being used on our politicians and other elites as blackmail, and that's why I wanted to highlight and platform your story. Bernie Sanders is a rotten communist. He's a subversive who doesn't like America. He doesn't like Western civilization. He lives a life of luxury while pushing the middle class into a world of suffer. But nobody wants him to be a child rapist. Nobody's rooting for Bernie Sanders to have raped kids, because that would mean that there are innocent people out there who've had their lives destroyed by it. We know that there was no way for you to document this event at the time or gather evidence as it happened because you were a child. And if all of this is true, then you were being held captive as well. That's why it's important that we provide as much accurate information and context as possible so that we can sift through this and get to the truth. So why are you coming forward now?
Technically, I came forward back in October of 2017. I made a post on Facebook in a Facebook group. That group was since deleted. I believe it was deleted during the Hunter Biden laptop scandal. And I came forward essentially because the way I see it is if what I'm remembering is true and if what I'm remembering is accurate, then what kind of person am I to stay silent? Then that makes me complicit. And how many other children are still getting raped, still being trafficked, still being abused? And this system will never come to an end if we stay silent. And the only way we'll be able to get rid of this corruption and finally get real transparency is if people start coming forward. And that's why I came forward.
Did anyone on the outside encourage you or compensate you in any way to come forward?
Not in any shape or form.
Nobody urged you. Nobody said you should really come forward. There's an election coming up. Nobody said, hey, we'll pay you. This was 100% doing. You decided, I'm going to do this.
There was one morning in the beginning of October where I was on my phone and I just started writing. I just started writing on my phone in the notepad. And middle end of October, I was like, all right, this is good. We can do this. And I posted it.
You said that you were 7 or 8 when this happened. Is that right?
Roughly. I was in either first or second grade.
What year was this? When did this take place?
I was born in 87, so it was probably early-ish, mid-ish 90s.
Okay. Now, Bernie Sanders has already run for president twice. He's been in Washington since the early 1990s. Why didn't you say anything until just now?
Because I wasn't sure how accurate my memories were. I don't want to ruin people's lives. I don't want to go out and make allegations that I have no proof of. And with my past, with the MK Ultra programming and with the MK Ultra training, my memory is very fragmented, and I'm well aware of the scrutiny that I'm going to undergo. I'm well aware of the questions that people are going to ask, and I'm not going to be able to answer everything the way that they want me to and the way I want to be able to. So I, like I said, I had no choice. When I realized that what I was remembering might be true, I had to ask myself whether it was worth staying silent or whether it was more important to talk about it and to see if something could come of it.
Yeah. I mean, of course, when you're making allegations like this, a lot of people are going to be desperate to discredit you. They're going to say that you're crazy, that you're making this up, that you're a pathological liar, that you have some sort of a diagnosis or undiagnosed condition of some sort. Anything that they can do. If this is true, they will come after you in ways that you probably can't even imagine.
They already have.
In what ways?
I went public in October of 2017. I gave birth to my daughter in December of 2017. And I was told that it was the law for all new mothers to take a drug test. So I did. And the drug test came back positive, or I'm sorry, the drug test came back negative. Everything came back negative. I have copies of it and everything. And they opened a substance exposed newborn case. And they told me that if I didn't stop talking, I would never see my daughter again.
Who's they that told you that you needed to stop talking?
Child Protective Services.
And that's how they put it to you. If you don't stop talking, we're going to take your kid.
Yes.
Now, was that something that was said, or was it something that was written, or?
It was said. It was initially when they first opened the case. I asked them, I said, do you have any recommendations, any suggestions, anything I can do to show you that I'm committed to my daughter and I'm committed to doing what's best for her? And they said, no, we don't have any suggestions for you, but we do recommend that you stop posting on social media. And as the case progressed and she was removed from our care, it turned from, we recommend that you stop posting on media to make her stop posting on social media. And then they went to my daughter's father, my husband, and told him to make me stop posting on social media. They didn't want follow-up drug testing. They didn't want parenting classes. The only thing they said to us the entire time was to stop posting on social media.
Now, there's obviously memory issues, things that you won't be able to recall, but there's a few discrepancies that we want to clear up, some questions that we want to ask you, if that's okay.
Of course.
You've said a few different things about where Bernie's family was at the time of this alleged sex crime. Were they in the basement watching it happen in a van parked outside of the house, or were they not there at all?
From my perspective, as I was being raped, As I was being raped, and I heard them threaten him, I looked up and I saw his family there. And then I, what was back to being raped, and he was crying in hysterics. And I don't know at what point his family actually left the room. I just know that by the time that when I got upstairs and when he got back upstairs after he was done, his family was already in the car. I don't know at what point they went upstairs. I just know that when he was threatened, I looked up, I saw them, and then I went back to focusing on what was happening.
How did you know who these people were? You say that Bernie was brought into the basement with a bag on his head and that when they removed the bag, you as a 7 or 8 year old child recognized him. How's that?
No, I didn't recognize him at the time.
Okay. How did you know that this was his family? Did they have some kind of conversation?
Just from what was said, from the reaction that I heard, that I saw from him, the way he got hysterical. And I had also seen another circumstance where there where somebody's wife or fiance was there.
Okay. Now, in one version of your story, and again, we're showing you grace because of your memory and recollection. But in one version, you claim that a man told Bernie to rape the little boy or his family would be killed. And you claim that the man went on to say, don't worry, the boy is used to it. But a different version of your story has you personally telling Bernie to rape the boy and that the longer he waited, the worse it would be. You say that as this happened, you and several other children were also being raped by a group of men. So which version is accurate? How could you have directly told Bernie to do this while you were actively being raped? We say it all the time on this program. We don't have a government. No, we have a rogue, murderous corporate crime syndicate. We don't have any representation in Washington, D.C. But look around. Banks all over the place are collapsing. And then they're getting bailed out. And who's paying for that? You are. Biden says taxpayers won't pay. Well, how do those banks get that money? The Fed prints the money to cover the losses, which will cause more inflation, or they just get the money from the Treasury. Either way, you're paying for it. So what can two average Joes like you and I even do about it? Simple. Protect your wealth with physical gold and silver, just like so many other Americans and banks are doing right now, just like I'm doing. I get my gold and silver from Goldco. Call them today, please, 855-706-GOLD. Learn how to protect your savings with gold and silver. Again, that number is 855-706-GOLD. Call Goldco today, 855-706-GOLD. Times are uncertain, to say the least. And being prepared right now is more crucial than it ever has been before, which is why I'm here to tell you about this incredible offer from our trusted partner, American Reserves. For the entire month of April, American Reserves is offering you, the Stu Peters community, free 72-hour kits with any purchase. You heard that right. Free product with any purchase, no matter how many purchases. All you need to do is use code STU72 at checkout, because at American Reserves, it's not just about selling products. It's about ensuring that you and your loved ones are safe and prepared. This is your one-stop shop for high-quality, long-shelf-life emergency food, top-tier water filtration products, and essential survival gear. And they understand the value of being prepared without breaking the bank at American Reserves. To help make your family readiness even more accessible, American Reserves offers Shop Pay that allows you to get the products immediately and pay later. That means that you can secure your family's safety right now, today, and pay in small, manageable installments. No stress, no compromise on quality. Don't wait until it's too late. Visit AmericanReserves.com right now, grab your free 72-hour emergency kit with any purchase, and take a smart step toward being prepared. With American Reserves and Shop Pay, you're not just preparing for emergencies, you're investing in peace of mind. The American Reserves team are my friends. I trust them with my own family's preparedness. They're true Christians and patriots, and they help support my work. Go to the good people right now at AmericanReserves.com and use the code STU72 to check out and prepare your family. Field of Greens is the healthiest thing that I do every day, and I want you on this journey with me. It's literally one scoop a day. It tastes great. I like all of their flavors. It's completely improved my life. This is actually nutrition the way that nature intended. What I noticed right away, I noticed clearer skin. I noticed brighter, more vibrant skin. I noticed more energy when I wake up. I noticed better sleep at night. And Field of Greens is just radically different. It's different from anything else that you could possibly do. Each organic fruit and vegetable was medically chosen to support heart and vital organ health. I trust Field of Greens to keep me healthy. I promise, you're going to love this product. But if for any reason you don't, they'll give you a 100% money-back guarantee. Who else is going to do that? Plus, I got you 15% off your first order, plus free rush shipping. Just visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code STEW. That's promo code STEW at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code STEW. Now, in one version of your story, and again, we're showing you grace because of your memory and recollection, but in one version, you claim that a man told Bernie to rape the little boy or his family would be killed, and you claim that the man went on to say, don't worry, the boy is used to it. But a different version of your story has you personally telling Bernie to rape the boy and that the longer he waited, the worse it would be. You say that as this happened, you and several other children were also being raped by a group of men. So which version is accurate? How could you have directly told Bernie to do this while you were actively being raped?
Explain the whole circumstance.
Please.
Is, he, well, to start from the beginning, I was brought downstairs by, I was escorted downstairs, and I was brought downstairs, and at the base of the stairs, there was a wall by the stairs, myself and a number of other children lined up against the wall, and we were picked one by one. The basement was sectioned off into rooms. There were rooms there, but they were also fake rooms that were tarps that were held up by a wire that weren't directly all the way to the ceiling, but made it look like they were in their own separate rooms. And I was picked. I was brought over to, there were two school desks that were next to each other, the type of school desk that you can put your books and stuff into. So there were these two school desks sat next to each other, and I was brought over to, from my perspective, the one on the right. And I was bent over being raped, and Bernie was dragged down, threatened. And when the hood was pulled off, there was the little boy that was bent over in front of him, who was on the other desk next to me, but he was on the other side. So he was facing me, and kind of next to me, and kind of in front of me. So Bernie was threatened. He was told, you know, kill, you know, rape this boy, have sex with this boy, or we'll kill you and your family. And another person came over to Bernie, who I call Coach. The coach was a separate person than the one who initially made the threat. I didn't see who made the threat, but it was a different voice. Coach went over to Bernie and essentially said some derivative of, you know, if you don't do it, your family is going to be killed and nothing can bring that back. But if you do do it, that boy is used to it. He's had it done to him before and he'll be okay. What's more important, the lives of your family or a little bit of discomfort for this boy? And at the time, he was, Bernie was, in hysterics, inconsolable. I was being raped, and while I was being raped, I looked up at him and I said some derivative of the longer you take, the more it's going to hurt. The faster you can get it done, the less it's going to hurt. The man who was raping me grabbed the back of my head and shoved my head into the desk and told me to shut up, and then he finished with me. I went upstairs, and then about 20 minutes later, Bernie came upstairs with Coach. I tried to give Bernie a hug. He was still clearly in shock, and I tried to give him a hug, and Coach pushed me out of the way, and then he was led out to the car on the right side of the building with where the van was, and that's where his family was.
You mentioned this coach. You've talked about him a couple of times. You mentioned that he's the ringleader of this whole operation.
I don't think he's the ringleader. I think what I think Coach was, and I'd seen this happen before, I think Coach was a friend of Bernie who was involved with this ring to some degree. And I think that they This is just speculation at this point, but I'd seen similar situations like this happen before, where people will be out on the street just walking, doing a normal thing, and somebody will drive up to them in a van and grab them into the van and drag them. And then a few days later, I would hear people laughing about, "Oh, we got so and so," or "We got him, we got him," or stuff like that. So I believe that coach was, I don't want to say handling him, that's not the right term, but was guiding this situation for Bernie.
You don't know his real name?
I believe I do, yes.
What's his real name?
I believe coach was Paul Krugman.
How did you arrive at that conclusion?
Because I remember his face.
And you said that your adopted father was close to this guy, both personally and professionally, correct?
No. Not that I know of, no.
You've never said that your adopted father was close to this coach.
No. I have not said that my adoptive father is close to coach. No. That as far as I know, he is not, and I don't know where that came from.
But you're naming this person coach again as.
That's what I called him, yes.
But you're now saying you're identifying this man, and you believe again this is who?
Paul Krugman.
Okay.
Krugman, Krugman.
So explain to the audience who Paul Krugman is.
From what I understand, he is does something in the financial world, some financial advisor, I think. I'm not exactly sure. I don't know exactly what he does. I just recognize his face.
You know, we've seen many times, and I'm not saying that this is the case now, but people come forward making outlandish claims with the goal of delegitimizing real, credible claims of abuse at the hands of the powerful. Is that what you're doing here?
Not in any shape or form.
You say that you were the victim of large-scale international child sex trafficking based on Long Island, and that you even traveled to Epstein's Island. What happened to all of the other victims?
It depended on, I think, what they planned on doing with the victims. There were some that were almost classmates of mine that I went to school with. There were some who I literally saw sold off at auctions. There were some that I've seen killed. I think it really depended on a mix of what they planned on using them for, and whether they were able to succeed in what was planned for them, if that makes sense.
Where were their parents, and what did their parents think was happening to them when they just disappeared like this?
At these parties, in a lot of these parties, the parents, as far as I there were two parties that happened in many of these parties. There was the upstairs party that on its face looked normal and, looked like a normal everyday party. And then there was usually some degree of going downstairs to some kind of basement area where the bad things would happen. And I don't remember seeing parents at the basement parties. I only remember seeing parents at the above parties.
So none of these kids went back and told their parents what happened?
I don't know. Pretty much, at the very least, I was used to it, to the point that I was in the living room watching Law and Order, and an episode came on where I turned to my parents and I said to them, "Why is that person getting into trouble for what so and so did to me the other week or the other weekend?" And it was some derivative of most people don't understand, most people don't get it. But it's okay within our circles or something like that.
But clearly, I mean, the first time this happens, and really every time, this is one of the most traumatic things that you could ever possibly go through. Now, we've heard obviously of women being abused, and I'm talking about just in relationships, financial abuse, mental abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse. We acknowledge here on this program through personal experience that the emotional abuse is even worse than the physical abuse. The scars aren't visible on the outside, but they cut deeper on the inside. I personally know people that have been through this traumatic experience. This is something that they carry through the rest of their lives. It's almost as if PTSD, they get triggered by other people that talk to them in a similar way, or if they interpret something as being said in a certain way, somebody approaches them fastly. I was a bounty hunter. I still get weirded out when somebody gets out of a vehicle in front of me at a gas tank because there was a life and death situation that happened at a gas pump with me. So I understand what trauma is. I could never say that I can put myself in your shoes or understand what it is that you're feeling. But is this the most traumatic thing that you've ever been through, being raped as a child?
No.
What was more traumatic than that?
They would put us in fight rings where we would have to fight with each other, and we wouldn't be allowed to stop until we were told to stop. One of the more traumatic memories is being in a fight ring with a young boy who was, he was a bully. He was a jerk. And he was mocking me, telling me that he was going to kill my friends next, and he was going to go after my friends next. And I don't know how, but there were weapons in the ring, and I ended up getting my hands on what looked like a trident or a pitchfork or something like that. And I swung it around and I cut his torso, and it opened up and it spilled open. And I don't know how, but somehow there ended up being a hammer that got in the ring, and I knew the boy wasn't going to survive. And I just wanted to put him out of his misery. So I just kept hitting until he stopped moving.
And did he die?
I think so.
Who got rid of his lifeless body?
I don't know.
What happened to you? Did they sweep you away? Did you not see anybody come to pick him up or to move him? How did that end?
It was in the equivalency of like a school gym.
Where was this?
I don't know.
Was this on Epstein's Island? Where were you when this happened?
No, this was in, it looks like a school gymnasium.
But like where? Like city, state? Like where did this happen?
New York. I don't know exactly where in New York, but it was somewhere in New York.
And how did they gain access to this school gymnasium of sorts?
I don't know. The gym looks like very similar to a gym that I used to play in when I went to camp. I don't know if it's the same gym, but it looks very similar.
So you murdered a young boy as a young girl?
Yes.
Have you ever told anybody this before?
Yes.
Did they believe you?
I don't hide it.
Did they believe you? Have you told this to law enforcement? Have you made a confession of any kind?
Yes. I've contacted law enforcement about what I witnessed as a child and about what I did as a child multiple times, and they don't want to hear it.
Never investigated, dismissed as fantasy. I'm not saying that the police are friends.
There was one investigation when I was a child that I don't know if they were police or what exactly they were. They were some kind of police officers. I was brought into a room, and I was brought into a room and they were talking to me, asking me questions. I was previously raped, and the man who was raping me kicked me in the chest and I got thrown across the room. I was at a friend's house. I think I was getting changed and somebody saw the bruises on my chest and they contacted the police, and the police ended up sitting down with me and saying, can you name, we were talking and they were like, well, can you name any of your abusers? Can you name any of these people that you see? And I said, well, I don't know their names. I know their code names. A lot of them have code names when they go to these parties. But if you turn on the TV and let me have the remote for a couple of hours, I can point them out to you on the television, or I can point some of them out to you on the television.
And is that how you arrived at the conclusion that this was this Paul Krugman that was coach?
I knew him from television, yes.
Okay. Do you remember what program you saw him on, or in what capacity he was on? Was he being interviewed, or was he?
Oh, that was so long ago. No, I have no idea.
According to Krugman's Wikipedia, he was previously a professor of economics at MIT and later at Princeton University. He retired from Princeton in June of 2015 and holds the title of professor emeritus there. He also holds the title of centennial professor at London School of Economics. Krugman was the president of the Eastern Economics Association in 2010 and is among the most influential economists in the world. He's known in academia for his work on international economics, including trade theory and international finance, economic geography, liquidity traps, and currency crises. Did you know any of this stuff about him? Obviously, you must have looked him up after you thought that you recognized him, and you've probably read the same thing that I just read aloud, have you?
No, I hadn't. All I knew is that he did financial stuff.
How did you know that? How did you know that he did financial stuff?
From what I saw him on TV, I saw him talking about financial stuff.
And it just dawned on you, that's Coach. That's him. Had you ever seen him anywhere else before besides this incident that you allege happened alongside Bernie Sanders?
At this point, I don't think so.
So at one time when you were 7 or 8 years old, while you were under stress in a crisis, being raped and witnessing Bernie Sanders raping a young boy, you very briefly saw this person who now, how many years later, you identified as Paul Krugman?
I recognized his face. I knew his face. I wasn't able to identify him, like his name, until a number of years ago.
But how did you do that? You recognized his name and face. He was on TV. That's when you recognized his face.
His face, correct. I did not know his name at the time.
Okay, and so then years later, how did you arrive at his name? We say it all the time on this program. We don't have a government. No, we have a rogue, murderous corporate crime syndicate. We don't have any representation in Washington, D.C. But look around. Banks all over the place are collapsing. And then they're getting bailed out. And who's paying for that? You are. Biden says taxpayers won't pay. Well, how do those banks get that money? The Fed prints the money to cover the losses, which will cause more inflation, or they just get the money from the Treasury. Either way, you're paying for it. So what can two average Joes like you and I even do about it? Simple. Protect your wealth with physical gold and silver, just like so many other Americans and banks are doing right now, just like I'm doing. I get my gold and silver from Goldco. Call them today, please, 855-706-GOLD. Learn how to protect your savings with gold and silver. Again, that number is 855-706-GOLD. Call Goldco today, 855-706-GOLD. Heart disease and blood clots and strokes and kidney failure. You hear these things, you think death. These are all deadly, and all of them can be found on the back of an ibuprofen bottle as adverse events. On top of all of it, ibuprofen doesn't even get to the main cause of your pain and swelling problems. It's only temporary pain relief. It's only masking the true problem, which is inflammation. That's not a solution to your pain. Not only is it ineffective, it's expensive and downright dangerous, especially for seniors. That's why researchers are saying right now to add this Antarctic supernutrient to your diet. I'm talking about omega-3 fatty acids, but not just any form of omegas that you get with regular fish oil at the big box store down the street. No, these are omega-3 fatty acids sourced from wild-caught krill. The omega-3 content from krill oil has been shown to support healthy blood pressure, circulation, brain health, as well as reduce inflammation, swelling, and joint pain. In fact, it outperforms ibuprofen, Advil, and Tylenol, and it doesn't have all of those dangerous side effects that we just talked about. For a limited time, you can grab Native Path Antarctic Krill Oil for as low as $23 a bottle. Just go to StopMyInflammation.com right now and get your special offer for being a part of this crew, this family. Go to StopMyInflammation.com. Again, that's StopMyInflammation.com. Okay, and so then years later, how did you arrive at his name?
I don't remember exactly how I rose at his name. I remember if maybe it was an internet clip or something. Like, I don't have TV, so it must have been a clip or something online that I was able to connect that face was him.
So just a couple of things here. I mean, that had to be the biggest revelation of your lifetime. And you don't remember exactly where you were or how you saw this man that was responsible for all of this when you were a young child? You don't remember if it was an internet clip or anything?
Well, that's what I'm saying. It was an internet clip. And
okay.
During this time period, I was watching tons and tons and tons of media and news and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, there's no way for me to you know, focus.
In what form exactly were you viewing these clips? Was it on a laptop or on a computer?
Computer. Laptop, technically, yes.
A laptop. And when was this? How long ago was this?
Oh, gosh. It was over 5 years ago. It was before my daughter was born that I was able to identify him.
So, there are people who remember the exact time, place, location, date of their first date with, you know, their girlfriend. They remember specific wording and text messages that they get from a significant other that makes them feel good or that harms or hurts their feelings, but you don't remember exactly what day or time or month or where you were when you recognized Paul Krugman as the person responsible, allegedly, for these heinous acts against children?
I can show you where I was. I was sitting at the counter right behind me with my laptop on it. But other than that, I can't give you the exact date, the exact time. But I was sitting, my laptop used to be placed on the counter behind me before everything went to hell. And that's, at the very least, I remember that. I was sitting at the computer, at the laptop, at that counter there when I saw it.
This platform is about extreme accountability and fighting for children. There's nothing that we're more passionate about here. And I don't know that you know that or not. You said that you've seen clips of the program before you came on here. But that is, I'm telling you, that is what the core of my purpose is. That's the calling that I am being obedient to. That is the number one priority of this program, is the passion of protecting and fighting and going to war to defend kids. So I'm in no way here to try to intentionally discredit you. I'm not here to attack you.
All I want is the truth and transparency.
And that's what we want as well. And that's why, obviously, if there are discrepancies in your story, we're here to clear them up. I want you to remember or recall things that will help you to solidify the case, where nobody can argue that you're some crazy, kooky, loony bin who's making all of this up, who's being paid, or who's running some sort of an op against the American people to delegitimize real activity that's taking place if this wasn't real. And that's what brings me to my question about these other kids. If there were rings set up for you to fight and you can't stop until they tell you to stop, clearly there are kids that are going home with these injuries. Not one of them has said anything to their parents that would lead to an investigation of this same place, or that they would recall Paul Krugman, or that they would recall Bernie Sanders. Nobody else, only you, are coming forward about this. Why? What happened to these other kids? Why would they not tell their parents? This is the most traumatic experience, if not for you, certainly for others, being anally raped or vaginally raped or raped by notable people of notoriety or fighting until death, in your case. Nobody wants to say anything. Not one of these children said a word. Why do you think that is?
I can't speak for everybody. I can only speak for my situation. My situation, I grew up and it was all I knew. This was normal to me. It was to the point where, you know, if I knew where I would be going, like, I knew based on the turns of the car at some points, you know, I'd have a general idea on what would be unfolding for the day. That being said, you know, if this is a generational issue and this is a situation where these children are being raised in these families and, you know, they are raised in it and it's all they know and they become adults in it and then they have their own children and then they bring their own children in it and it becomes this generational cycle. And I think that's really a big part, a big aspect of why it's gotten as bad as it has, because these children, it's all they know. And, you know, some of them may not even know what's going on is wrong. Others are probably understandably terrified to speak out against their, you know, I don't want to even say against their parents, but speak out anything that would jeopardize their parents. Because in a lot of these situations, like, for example, I grew up on Long Island. I'm not going to say that everybody there was corrupt to some degree, but, you know, a lot of these situations, you know, these children, you know, at least I can imagine that some of them are justifying it by, well, I got something out of it. You know, I still, you know, I got to live in a $600,000 home and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I'm okay now. It didn't really cause that much harm to me, so it's okay. Or some derivative of that, I can imagine. But
I have to believe that there are more people who would be inclined to talk about this information rather than in exchange for a $600,000 house, for example. I mean, there are people who end relationships with rich men because they don't feel that they're being fulfilled in a relationship, or you know, some other thing happens. I just can't imagine that. But I mean, I guess I've never been in that position, so I'm not trying to empathize. I'm trying to understand.
I understand. I don't know. I mean, I know that at least in you know, with my father was very, very money oriented, was very focused on the money, didn't care less about me as a person.
But were you focused on the money?
No.
So why not come out earlier? Why not say something before now or before 2017?
Because like I said, you know, I had to internally battle whether I was going to come forward and to what extent I was going to come forward. Because once again, I know how fragmented my memory is, and I know how people are going to understandably have questions. And I know that when I name these people, people are going to be like, what? So I had to balance whether it was worth, to what extent I would be able to handle getting torn apart by people and their questions, as you know, and handle it.
Have you ever before alleged that the person that knew Bernie or that led him into this situation that was otherwise known as Coach, have you ever before on any platform or anywhere named this person as Paul Krugman?
I have to check. I had written up a Substack where I have a number of names that I had seen listed with a number of scenarios that I had seen them in, but not linking the two together. So I would have to see, I would have to specifically look at that to tell you if who I had named and all that.
So, you know, when you search just a very quick Google search of Paul Krugman and Bernie Sanders, the first thing that comes up is a YouTube video titled "Paul Krugman is Nervous About Bernie Sanders Embracing the Socialist Label." So clearly they do have knowledge of one another. What made you call him Coach? Did somebody else call him Coach?
Just because he was coaching Bernie, and I figured it was easier for the sake of communication to refer to him as Coach.
So that's a pseudonym that you gave him. That's not something that he went by. He wasn't referring to himself as Coach. He wasn't telling anybody, I'm here to coach you. None of that.
No, that was just something I gave him for the convenience of explaining the situation.
Can you describe to me in some certain detail something about Epstein Island that nobody would know unless they had been there?
I'm not sure. Unfortunately, around the time that I went to Epstein Island, it was on a cruise. So at the time, I went to multiple locations. I don't know exactly what was on Epstein Island. I just know that I have been there.
When you see pictures of Epstein Island now, whether it be on the news or a Google search or whatever other form, when you see pictures of that, do you recall any of that? How are you able to know that you for sure were on Epstein Island?
The reason why I know they went to Epstein Island is because the shore excursion, we went there on a shore excursion. We went there on the cruise and we went there on the shore excursion. And I remember ever since then talking about how I had been to Little St. James, but I didn't know that it was Epstein Island until fairly recently. And it became, you know, and then I realized that Little St. James is Epstein Island.
You recognize the buildings, the home, the pool, anything?
No.
So you don't recall the big blue tops and the cathedral-looking, satanic-looking buildings?
No, I did not go up and see that section, or at least I don't remember seeing that section.
So did any bad things or wrongdoing occur where you were victimized on Epstein Island?
On this cruise specifically, yes. I don't know if it happened on Epstein Island, but yes, there were things that happened on this cruise that may have been Epstein Island.
And who were the perpetrators of these heinous acts at that time on the cruise?
One of them, well, both of them were actually the fight situation again, where we had to fight.
And who was it that was putting you up to this on that cruise? Was it the same people that were in New York?
No, these are different people. I went on the cruise with family, and then it was different people when we got to the island.
And your parents or your family were aware of this? They were in on this?
I don't know to what extent. To my understanding, my mother's side of the family came over via Operation Paperclip. From my father's side of the family is a bit more of an enigma, because when I was in grade school, I did a report on him, and I was told that he came to the United States from Poland via Ellis Island. It wasn't until recently, within the past couple of years, that I found out he supposedly actually came over from Cuba and stole somebody's ID and assumed their life.
What do you want to see happen as a result? I mean, obviously you said you want to get the truth out. What do you want to see happen if your allegations prove to be true? What is your purpose here?
My purpose is transparency.
Okay, yeah, but obviously these people, do you believe, should be held accountable? I mean, do you want to see any justice exacted upon these people?
What I want to see is, I want to see accountability. I want to see 2 degrees of accountability. I want to see severe, severe, severe punishment for the people who are orchestrating this. I want it to be set for hundreds of years. That is a deterrent, that they will never do this type of thing again. I want anybody who consider doing this type of thing to be terrified of what's going to happen because of the degree of accountability that they will receive. I do think that the blackmailed do need to receive some degree of accountability as well, but I don't think it needs to be any or should be anywhere near the degree of those at the top who are orchestrating this. I think that, you know, the blackmailed, especially those who are willing to come forward to whatever degree and who are fighting back in whatever degree they can, I think they should be given something much milder, whether it's community service or something. They should do something to give back to the community and to give back to the people to try and at least do something to make up for what they did. There needs to be a level of accountability on all ends. But like I said, the people who are orchestrating this, the people at the top, the people who did the deed with a smile on their face need to be locked in a very, very small cell for the rest of their lives.
No, they need to be killed. We oftentimes say, if you touch our kids, we kill you. And that, of course, is an abbreviation for after a judicial process, due process, a speedy but thorough trial has occurred and a guilty verdict has been handed down. These people need to be killed. They need to be executed. Who is at the top of all of this?
I don't know.
Has there been any type of investigation into your allegations at all whatsoever? Any credible investigating?
I've tried to have investigations done, but none have been done.
Not one. Not one officer, detective, nobody has looked into it. How many officers or detectives or investigators have you approached with this information? How desperate are you to make sure that this accountability happens?
When everything first happened and when I first went public, I contacted everybody I could think of, the FBI, the CIA, DOJ, everybody I could think of, I contacted to try and reach out about pretty much tying in what happened to me as a child and what was going on with the foster and adoption industries together.
Did you reach out to NYPD?
I don't know. I might have. I'm not sure.
But you reached out to the FBI. Okay. Any other law enforcement agencies? Did you do any local or county?
Yes. Yes.
Which law enforcement, local or county, did you reach out to?
Baltimore County.
Baltimore County Sheriff's Office.
The local station.
And when did you do that?
I did that after CPS tried to take my daughter the first time.
Okay.
After I did it after CPS got involved, and I, you know, went around to everybody and, you know, all that.
Do you think that it's possible?
The way I figured it.
Go ahead.
I should say the way I figured it is they wanted me to be quiet. No, screw that. I'm going to get louder.
And do you think that the Baltimore County Sheriff's Office may have assumed that you were telling this story or making this up in some way so that your children or child would not be taken away from you by CPS?
I don't know.
What did they tell you when you told Baltimore County what it was that had occurred? What did they say to you?
It culminated in some derivative of thank you for this information. If we need any more information, we'll get back to you.
Was this done by phone or in person?
It was done in person.
So you met with an officer or an investigator?
Yes.
So there is a report with the Baltimore County Sheriff's Office that would corroborate that you came forward and that you made these allegations.
I don't know to what extent he made a report because he had his notepad and wrote it on his notepad, but hopefully there's a report.
Did you give your full name and date of birth?
Yes.
Were you an adult at the time that you made this report?
Yes. Yes.
You'd be derelict in his duties as an officer to not make a report, whether it be unfounded or just a write-up, a narrative of anything. It would absolutely have been brought up in some sort of a report form for information only or to launch a criminal investigation. It would have been handed to an investigator. This is how law enforcement is supposed to work. So obviously there has to be some type of documentation of you coming forward. We're going to look for that. We agree with you that extreme accountability is the only way to handle these people. I just pray that you find some peace. What you're dealing with in one way or another has to be extremely traumatic for you to deal with. And there's just no way that we can possibly even comprehend what you must be processing and the life sentence that you have to process this until you expire here in the natural. I mean, that's never going to go away. Have you talked to any other politicians?
I will never find any derivative of peace until I know there's accountability.
Well, that's what we're after. And whether people believe you or not, that will remain the focus of this platform, is to fight and go to war for children against these heinous acts. We appreciate you coming forward. What did we miss? We've got a few minutes left here. We've got 2 minutes left, and I would like for you to just have the floor.
I guess one thing I do want to mention very quickly is the CPS industry is hopelessly corrupt. I believe that, at least from what I've seen, at least in some cases, CPS is acquiring these children with the intent to funnel them through the foster and adoption industries to supply them to Epstein's ilk. We need to get a complete transparent investigation into what's going on and how these people are getting these children, because they are taking them from families, kidnapping them, abducting them, and then torturing them to death.
We had a documentary that we released called These Little Ones. It's my documentary here from the Stu Peters Network. That exposes CPS. We agree with you that CPS is the world's largest child trafficking operation on the face of the planet. We have seen it happen firsthand with Baby Cyrus, who, along with Ammon Bundy and his physical protest, this platform was largely responsible for exposing that situation and neutralizing the threat against Baby Cyrus. We don't believe that he would have ever been seen again by his real parents, his birth parents, had we not intervened and made a whole lot of noise. We hope that the same thing happens with the noise that you're making. God bless you. Jennifer Guskin, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
You know, there's just a lot of tired people out there. People are exhausted. People are hitting that snooze button and then slamming their heads right back down on the pillow every morning. If you think about it, with all of the problems that you have to take care of at work and at home, with your family, with your friends, it's no wonder that you feel so tired. You take care of a lot of different things. But if you really stop to think about it, who takes care of you? Magnesium Breakthrough is an all-natural supplement. It helps me reduce fatigue and sleep more peacefully. It's even strengthened my muscle, it improved my heart and brain function, and while most magnesium supplements aren't full spectrum, Magnesium Breakthrough is the only magnesium supplement on the market that contains the optimal ratio of all 7 essential types of magnesium. Imagine having the strength and energy to get out of bed every morning and face the day boldly and courageously, to be able to show up as your best self, to keep that energy up through the day and into the night. So if you want to feel more energized, if you want to get the best night's sleep that you've had in forever, check out buyoptimizers.com/Stu Peters. By using the promo code Stu Peters, you'll unlock all kinds of special offers. So two things to remember: buyoptimizers.com/Stu Peters, and then use promo code Stu Peters. You'll be amazed at how much better you feel by taking Magnesium Breakthrough.